Hey, everybody, and welcome to another awesome episode of OEM TV. Once again, my name is Gavin Bowman. I'm a technical evangelist for Microsoft, and our now like quad-peat guest at this point, Jeff Gazier joins us again from ASUS. Nice to have you back, Jeff.
Good to be back.
Awesome, awesome. So, Jeff, we are going to talk about one of my favorite nerdy topics today. And it's my favorite because it's the best way to show off all that hard work you put into your internals, right? Monitors, more monitors. We need to talk about monitors. And we need to talk about ASUS's presence in the monitor space. Right now, you guys are really, really big players in the gaming monitor space. So let's talk about two models in particular you wanted to address. I know was the PG248Q. And the other was one of the MG series numbers, guys, the MG248Q. Awesome. So let's talk about the difference between those and what each one gives me. And go.
It's a good prompt, right? Before we even get into the model-specific stuff, I mean, it's probably worth going over what's different about a gaming monitor than a traditional monitor, because there are a lot of features that we put into gaming displays that you wouldn't get in a normal monitor, and it's sort of a reason to get a gaming-specific display instead of a traditional monitor. And one of the big ones is fixed refresh rate versus a variable refresh rate. So within a traditional monitor, you'll typically get a refresh rate of 60 hertz, and that's the same all the time. So every 16.7 milliseconds, you get a new frame that's displayed on the monitor, which is great if you're running content that has a fixed refresh rate. So if you have the Windows desktop, which always updates at 60 hertz, or if you're looking at maybe something like a movie, which plays at a constant 30 frames per second or a constant 24 frames per second. Content is fixed, so it's predictable, and it's not really a problem. But with games, the performance is never consistent. The frame rate constantly varies unless you're playing one of those few games that's sort of locked at a specific frame rate. And that creates a problem for a fixed rate display, because if the refresh cycle of the display comes up and there isn't a new frame ready from the graphics card, then you have to do one of two things. You either have to wait another 16.7 milliseconds until a new frame is ready and then show that frame. And then in the interim, you reuse an old frame, which makes the animation kind of stuttery. Or you cut into a new frame kind of midway through the refresh cycle, so you end up displaying half of one frame and then half of the other. And then you have this kind of ugly tearing line in between the two that you can see on the display. So both of those kind of screw up your sense of immersion and take you out of the game. So what variable refresh does as it eliminates both by synchronizing the refresh rate of the display with the frame rate of the graphics card. So no more fixed cycles. When a new frame is ready on the graphics card, then the display will actually draw it on the screen. So that synchronization smooths out the gameplay quite a bit. The animation looks a lot better even at lower frame rates. You also get lower lag for the inputs and none of that sort of visual tearing that you see on a fixed refresh display if you disable VSync. So that's one of the big things that we do with the gaming monitors. And the other one is having a higher refresh rate. Even at 60 hertz, even if you're nailing that refresh cycle every single time, there's still this 16 millisecond display or delay in between each frame. And a lot can happen in 16 milliseconds if you're playing fast-paced games like first-person shooters, driving games, anything that's action-oriented, especially anything on the esports scene where people are really competitive and actually have the reflexes to move quickly. I'm a little older and not quite as fast as I used to be, so it doesn't affect me as much. But it's even the kind of thing that if you drag, a window around on the Windows desktop on a 60 hertz display, you can see it kind of getting choppy and the refresh rate isn't fast enough to keep up. Right. But you do that on a higher refresh display and it looks much smoother. And that's basically the concept, is by increasing the refresh rate, we minimize that delay time in between frames, which means that you get a much smoother interpretation of any motion that's happening. And in terms of reducing input lag, you also see the inputs that you put into the game reflected a lot faster. So if you're a competitive gamer and that kind of stuff matters to you, or if you just want to have the best chance and the best, most connected experience, and a higher refresh rate will give you that. And that's something that you don't typically find on kind of non-gaming displays. So those are, I guess, the two key differences between our gaming displays on the sort of the technology and panel side. And then we also have kind of some other stuff that we lump on top that sort of is spread across all of our gaming displays. One of these, we call these Game Plus overlays. So there's sort of an extra information that you can put on your display at the same time as you're playing games. One of them is a crosshair. There's actually a couple of different ones you can choose from. So you know how some games, they don't have a crosshair with certain weapons and certain conditions.
Crazy.
So, you know, if you want to make your no-scoping skills look really slick, we have this sort of superimposed crosshair that you put in the middle of the screen. We've got an FPS tracker, so if you want to track performance in real time, it'll show you, you know, in a configurable corner of the display how fast the game is running. We've also got some integrated timers, so you know certain games have drops that reoccur on a set time. You can actually set a timer and have it visible on the display to help you sort of keep track of what's going on in the game. And then we've got some game visual profiles, which tweak the actual image setting and picture of the game for different genres. So we have an FPS mode that brightens up shadows a little bit so you can see your enemies quicker. There's a scenery mode that's super lush and has saturated colors. It's great for RPG games and stuff like Skyrim. So there are little ways to tweak the settings, and these are kind of the things that you won't find typically on non-gaming displays, but something that we incorporate in all of our gaming displays, and specifically both the ROG Swift PG-248Q and then the MG-248Q. The monitors are a little bit more difficult to deal with because they're all jumbled up mixes of letters and numbers, but
so
I tried to pick two that would be really similar for this episode.
Yeah, and that's a given. That's the letters and numbers, they drive me, because it's one of those things you add it to your Amazon cart and you want to show a friend and you're just like, yeah, how many digits was this? I totally understand that. But yeah, let's get started with talking about the PG-248Q. Now, you sent me the information on this monitor and it looked amazing, right? I saw something along the lines of 180 hertz refresh rate. Why, Jeff?
Because we can. I mean, it's kind of, panels are a little bit like processors in that you make a bunch of panels and you kind of see how fast they'll run. And, you know, we've got this 24-inch panel. It's 1080p resolution. It's a really good fit for high FPS gaming. So this is really designed for, you know, esports players, competitive FPS players, the kind of people who can take advantage of the fact that we're shrinking that delay time down. At 180 hertz, it's only about 5.5 milliseconds, the delay wow. between frames. So you need to have fast reaction times to take advantage, but the smoothness is really incredible. We've got some high-speed footage that I recorded at 240 frames per second, and it's playing back a little bit slower than real time, so it kind of exaggerates the effect, but it gives you an idea of how the game feels. It's kind of weird going from 180 hertz back to 60. The difference between that is almost more than going from 60 to 180 hertz, because then something feels wrong when you go to that slower refresh rate. You feel a little bit more disconnected from the game, like things aren't happening as smoothly or as instantaneously as you thought they would. So this monitor actually has a sort of a stock refresh rate of 144 hertz, but through the on-screen display, you can overclock it to 180. And basically any card, any GeForce card, after a 650 Ti boost. So anything that's come out in the last couple of years that's compatible with G-Sync should run this monitor at up to 180 hertz. And it does support G-Sync all the way up to 180 hertz. So if your frame rate dips below 180, which, you know, in a lot of games, it's common for your frame rate to be less than 180 frames per second. The G-Sync technology in this will keep varying the refresh rate with the actual game performance to keep the motion really, really smooth. And there's actually a surprising number of games that you can run really well at 180 frames per second. I was playing a Counter-Strike. Even the new Doom game will run at over 180 frames per second on a GTX 1080 quite comfortably. So
that is intense. I love how you said that's super tongue-in-cheek. You're just like, oh, there's quite a few games that'll handle really well. So I just want to go back and cover a quick thing you said. You mentioned it coming in at stock at 144 hertz, but I can overclock this thing through on-screen controls in the monitor?
Yeah, we've got every monitor has a little on-screen display. So things you just like brightness and contrast, you change the picture. This is also how you get at all those Game Plus and game visual features. And then, yeah, we've got a little overclocking tab, and you just go in there and change the refresh rate. It reboots the monitor, and you're good to go. It's It's really seamless. I actually quite like our on-screen displays as well, because instead of having buttons on the front, we've got this little joystick interface. So you can easily actually navigate the menus, and it's sort of intuitive, which if you've used PC monitors for a long time, you realize that figuring out what button does what or what, you know, moves you in which direction on the on-screen display is can be a little bit confusing on some monitors. So we've got this nice little joystick on the back that, you know, it doesn't take any, you know, time to figure out how it works. It's really easy to navigate and to overclock this display.
That's awesome. See, I'll have to use that, because so far my experience is there's no way to interact with the monitor without looking like you're 80 years old, staring at like a smartphone for the first time. You're just like,
yeah. Well, and so the buttons too, and then you hit one, and the entire monitor shakes, and it's
just... it's the worst. It's the worst.
The little thing.
Well, you say that's a little thing, Jeff. That is a huge problem. Like you said, especially the monitor wobble. The monitor wobble drives me crazy. Someone needs to fix this. I don't know if we need to come out with, if we're gonna have buttons, we need bigger, better bases. If we're gonna do that, I like the idea of a joystick. I have not touched it, so I'm gonna reserve judgment for there. So stay tuned for the next episode, guys, of OEM TV.
Does this mean we have to ship you a demo monitor now? I think.
Yeah, like seven. Yeah. Let's
That's actually and good segue. One of the nice things about the PG-248Q is that it actually does have narrow bezels on it. So if you wanted to do a multi-monitor setup, you can actually squeeze them in pretty tight together. And one of the actual Game Plus overlays that we have as well is an alignment system. So it actually puts little marks on the monitor. So when you're putting multiple displays together, you can actually line them up all perfectly. And I'm standing in front of three monitors right now, and having set those up without the helpful little guide and having like levels balanced on top of the displays and stuff, it's nice to have something built in that helps you know, line everything up properly.
That's epic. I really do appreciate that level of attention to detail, because yes, like you said, when you're coming from a land where you're used to setting up multiple monitors together and you get everything set up, base amounts all good, you know, you sit down and you're just like, huh.
One of those is not quite right. And then you can never unsee that. It's always going to be there.
And it's like an internal battle with you. Do I really have this in me to go back and fix this? And I'm lazy, so the answer for me is usually no. But it hinders your performance. So yes, I do love that. So man, 180 hertz refresh rate. This monitor is G-Sync. It's got a super thin bezel with the USB port in it as well. You know, it sounds like this monitor has been sent from heaven, but I'm going to ask you the tough question right now, Jeff. The college student in me is screaming, I want this. Well, the college student in me is still eating ramen noodles every day for lunch. What's the price point on this?
It's about $450. It's a little more expensive. G-Sync technology, they use some custom hardware in G-Sync that makes the monitor a little bit more expensive. So if you want a little more economical option, we have the MG-248Q. This uses AMD's FreeSync technology, which is very similar to G-Sync. It's the same kind of variable refresh principle. Instead, though, it doesn't use custom hardware. It's based on a component of the DisplayPort specification. So it's cheaper to implement. So the MG-248Q is actually under $300. Now the difference with this one is you need a Radeon card in order to use the variable refresh aspect of it, and it only goes up to 144 hertz. And I say only 144 hertz. You know, it's, to be perfectly honest, the difference between 144 hertz and 180 hertz is much smaller than the difference between 60 hertz and 144 hertz. So for most people and, you know, most reflexes, 144 hertz gaming monitor is plenty, and you still get that variable refresh technology for Radeon graphics cards. So it'll intelligently vary the refresh rate to match the performance of your system. So, you know, you get smooth gameplay in you know, the titles that you're playing at kind of 60 frames per second. If you've got, you know, you're running The Witcher 3 or something, and you've got all the details turned all the way up. And then if you want to go play Counter-Strike and have it be super fast and responsive, you can get a solid 144 in that.
That's pretty awesome. And so both of these monitors share a lot of the same features, right? So I still get that awesome joystick, et cetera.
Still get it. All of our game monitors have that awesome joystick. Nice. Same with the overlays and all the image profiles. You know, they most of the features are actually fairly consistent in between the two. These particular, both displays are 24 inches, 1080p resolution. They both have TN panels. I know TN gets a lot of hate in some circles. For a gaming monitor, it's actually better in a lot of respects because the pixel response time is quicker.
It's so fast. Yeah.
So, yeah, you don't get as much of the motion blur and fast action as you would on an IPS-type display where the pixels can actually change colors as quickly. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the stuff with viewing angles on an IPS display, they're wider, but if you're playing games on a monitor, generally you're sitting right in front of it. So the fact that you can't, you know, if I'm going to go over here and play video games, I might not have a great experience on a TN monitor, but the odds of me doing that are probably pretty low. So these monitors are optimized for speed and for sort of first-person shooters and, you know, stuff like popular esports titles that are out now, which are very much speed-oriented. So having a higher refresh rate is much more important than, you know, being able to see accurate colors at a 30-degree angle.
Well, yeah, that's a really important point to make, right? So when you're buying a monitor, you need to understand that in every case, you're making some sort of trade-off. So it depends on you as the end consumer, right? I do a little bit of Photoshop work, right? I do a little bit of Illustrator work, and color accuracy means a lot more to me than it would to gamer Gavin, right? So yeah, I would probably consider an IPS display, but I take a hit when I want those, you know, amazingly high refresh rates, right? And I take a hit when I want that awesome response time. So I know I'll never be able to play Counter-Strike with the big boys. But that's okay for me, right? But if you're a heavy gamer and you just want, you know, all that performance really quickly and color representation is not as important to you, you want the image before you care about, oh, well, this is 93% accurate on the RGB spectrum. if that's a big thing for you, then TN is definitely the way to go. And so, like you said, they get a lot of hate in some circles, get a lot of love in other circles.
Another thing, too, is... the quality of TN panels varies quite a bit, too. All TN panels are not created equal. Some are actually native 8 bits instead of 6 bit. And I've, you know, run colorimeters on some of them, and you can get a TN panel looking almost as good as an IPS display dead on if you've got the right panel. So it's, nice. You know, quality varies widely as well. TN, I think, got a bad rap for a long time because you'd get these really low-end laptops that had
really bad TN
displays that looked nothing like the stuff that we put in our gaming monitors. So, yeah, there's awesome definitely a range there.
That's awesome to know. And you're right. I've been burned by TN panels before, and I haven't touched one in years, right? So I go to Best Buy every now and again to look at the gaming monitors, and I just, if I like pull it up, of course Best Buy doesn't tell you, right? So you got to like pull it up on your phone. What sort of panel is this? And like once you find out it's a TN panel, I'm predisposed to going, ew. But I will agree with you. Twisted Pneumatic has grown a lot over the last few years. And so when it comes to things like color accuracy, the debate is coming less and less relevant. So go for speed, guys. If you want speed, do it. Cool. So let's talk about you guys' MG and PG family. I know this wasn't on the list, Jeff. I don't care. I want to talk about it. You guys have a 34-inch curved monster of a monitor. What is the model? Give me the elevator pitch. I want to know everything there is to know about it.
This is the big boy. This is the PG ROG Swift PG348Q. If you're paying attention, you can notice how the numbers change in the model to sort of change the size. And yeah, it's 34 inches. It's curved, ultra-wide aspect ratio, so it's 21:9. The resolution is 3440x1440. So it's high resolution. It's a G-Sync panel, and the refresh rate goes up to 100 hertz. So, and it's also an IPS type panel as well. So it's basically all of the goodness that we could put into a display is that monitor. And it's fantastic. I mean, it's hard to describe what it's like to game on a monitor like that because you get so many different things at once. First, it's a really big panel. It also curves around, which actually sort of heightens the immersion a little bit and brings the outer corners a little bit closer, makes your periphery seem a little bit more natural. And then you've got the G-Sync, which makes everything smoother. And then you have it going up to 100 hertz, which gives you another benefit over a 60 hertz display. So yeah, it's a fantastic monitor. It's my favorite monitor on lineup. I think we've got about 10 monitors in our MG and PG series in total, and that's the one that everybody wants to talk about and everybody wants to have. And I think it's about $1,300, so not everybody can afford it.
It's not cheap, but it is a monster, right, for what you're getting. Yeah. It is amazing.
Yeah, and it looks cool too. It's got sort of a different design on it. It's got our new kind of titanium and copper color scheme. So it looks different than the other monitors are out there on the market. It's got actually kind of a cool LED in it as well. So it projects an ROG logo onto your desk below the monitor. Nice. So yeah, it's not RGB, you know, maybe next generation, but
one day I'll learn to live. So my question on that, Jeff, is that with a monitor that large, right, the standard size desk becomes less of a desk and more of a giant monitor stand, right? Does this thing support VESA mounting?
It does. And all of our gaming monitors do. You can pop off the stands. We actually try to put a lot of work into the stands as well because, mm-hmm. you know, I having know the monitor in the right position makes a difference. And, you know, the ultra-wide doesn't rotate because having a curved display that rotates would be a little bit weird. And having a stand that allowed a 21:9 to rotate would be a little bit weird, but it still has swivel, height, and tilt adjustment. And all of our other monitors have those adjustments and rotation as well. So if you want to do a portrait orientation on like the two 24-inch monitors we were discussing earlier, you can do that. And then, yeah, we've got 10 models in total. And they've all got these adjustable displays and VESA mounting support and, you know, a mix of panels as well. Because if, you know, we've got some with TN panels, we've got a bunch of IPS displays, we've got some that go up to 4K. So we've got kind of at every different size, we have different options, different resolutions, and different panel types as well. Because we know that people have different needs. Some people, like if you're a hardcore Photoshop person that likes to do a little bit of gaming on the side, you probably want a 4K panel, but having something like G-Sync or FreeSync is really valuable because gaming at 4K is really hard and you're not going to maintain a constant 60 frames per second. So having that technology is really nice. You know, some people who want a high refresh IPS panel, we've got the PG279Q, which is another ROG G-Sync monitor. That goes up to 165 hertz with an IPS display, 27 inches, 2560 by 1440. That's kind of the sweet spot all-around monitor. If you want something that can do a little bit of everything, it does high refresh, it does IPS, it's a decent size.
And then we've got a cool option. Pixel density to make me squeal. You know?
Oh yeah, I mean that resolution, and it's not too high of a pixel density that then you need this insane machine with multiple graphics cards to actually hit 165 FPS and something. So it's all about balance with monitors too. Like, can you actually see the extra pixels on a 4K display? How close to the display do you have to get to actually benefit from that in a gaming context? And then there's cost too.
Oh, yeah, there is cost. But before we hit the price, I do want to go ahead and say you contradicted yourself earlier, Jeff. You said that there's plenty of people with different needs, and then you said there's no need for a 34-inch monitor to go portrait mode. I think you're wrong. I think I want my curve to go from horizontal to vertical. I don't know why I'd use it yet. Give me a minute. We'll figure this out. But
being like the ultimate Tetris monitor.
Yes! I want to be able to spell my name with my monitors. No, I'm totally kidding. But yeah, you were mentioning cost.
Yeah, so it's like if we talk about the PG279Q, that's around $800. Again, the G-Sync monitors tend to have a bit of a price premium associated with the extra hardware that goes into those. But then we've got monitors like the MG24UQ, which is a really affordable 4K monitor. So this is an IPS panel. It's a 24-inch 4K, which means your pixel density is incredibly high. It goes up to 60 hertz just because pushing 4K at more than 60 hertz requires kind of next-generation standards that a lot of graphics cards don't support right now. But this one's FreeSync, and it's only about $340. So you can get an IPS 4K monitor with FreeSync for, you know, under $350. And yeah, I've tested that display. It's fantastic. It looks incredibly sharp. And gaming at that resolution, you really do want something like FreeSync or G-Sync, unless you have some sort of insane rig with multiple cards that can crank out a constant 60 frames per second at 4K is really tough to do, even with new stuff like the GTX 1080.
Agreed. And on that note, even then, it's at the developer's sort of whim, right? So, mm-hmm. you know, if your game doesn't take advantage of those multiple cards, there's some really awesome ones on YouTube, guys, about three 1080s running in SLI together, even though it's technically not supported. You'd be surprised by the number of games that are. But Yeah, but there's also plenty that just don't, right? And you'll see that one card just isn't working. You've got this amazing display, these amazing cards, and no love between them. So it's really important to know where our limitations are as far as industry goes when you're picking out your amazing monitors. So I'm glad you mentioned that. Jeff, I'm going to ask you a really loaded question. What type of PC enthusiast are you, right? So which of these monitors do you think would fit your lifestyle, your personality well enough? I already know my answer.
Yeah, the 34 is, you know, I've got 3 24-inch monitors right now. They're all IPS. None of them have variable refresh. I bought these monitors back before that was a thing and available. I do a lot of photo editing for work and the articles that I write, so I need to have the color accuracy. And the widescreens have kind of changed my view on multiple monitors a little bit. I like being able to spread stuff around. I like having a big desktop, and I've always used multiple monitors to do that. But these ultra-wide monitors, especially the 3440 by 1440 ones that give you more vertical space, I really like those. So if I was going to buy one display today, it would probably be the PG348Q. I'd have a really hard look at the 279Q. But I'd look at that and I'd think, oh, I need to get at least two of those, and then it's going to be unbalanced. Right. I have to get a third, and then why don't I just not get the 34-inch at that point?
You know, I like what you said there. You know, the 34 inches made you rethink multiple monitors. I also have a 34-inch curved monitor, and it is life, guys. It's amazing. That being said, it didn't make me rethink multiple monitors. I just had more room with more monitors. So, yeah, I got like 2 24-inch monitors and slapped them on either side, and it's amazing. So maybe you should do that, Jeff. You should totally do that.
We have thought about doing a set of a demo system with three of the PG348 monitors, doing like a driving simulator or something with that. And we may do that at some point still in the future. Because, yeah, that would be pretty sweet.
That is sick. Yes, do it and send it to me. You know, you should just send it to me. I'll do it at home. And we can do another episode of OEM TV, and then I can cut ties with you all together.
Really cool. And lose the return shipping label somewhere.
Yeah, conveniently enough, right? Awesome. So, Jeff, I want to thank you once again for popping up on OEM TV. Is there anything else you want your viewers to know when this video launches about what ASUS is doing in the world of gaming monitors?
You know, I think we've covered, I'm going to cover something that you wouldn't maybe think about here. I'm just going to insert it in slyly. We've got this eye care stuff that for gamers is kind of good and bad. So it does a couple of things. One, we've got a flicker-free backlight, which means that the backlight does not flicker, basically. And mm-hmm. It's certified by an independent lab. And what it basically does is it reduces eye strain if you're spending a really long time in front of a computer. Mm-hmm. So gamers who spend a lot of time in front of a computer, you can reduce your eye strain by using a monitor that has a flicker-free backlight. Now, we've also blue light filtering. So what it does is it actually filters out some of the blue light that's emitted by your monitor. This is good for your eyes because blue light can be damaging. It does change the picture a little bit because if you take out some of the blue, obviously things won't look the same. So it's kind of like the reading modes that you find in a lot of tablets now. They kind of have this more sepia-toned image that they give you.
And that actually also makes me go to bed at a reasonable time. I'm told that blue light also keeps you awake.
I've noticed that it's effective. I have it set up on my phone and my tablet because I look at those a lot late at night. And I notice that if I'm gaming late at night and I don't have that filtering turned on, it is harder to sleep. And you can turn it on while gaming and it does affect the picture. But in certain games like Counter, like nobody plays Counter-Strike for the graphics, right? So certain games, if you're playing super late at night and have problems falling asleep afterwards, it's actually worth turning on this blue light filter and seeing if it helps out. Because I've noticed that it definitely helps out me and it is better for your eyes. And if you don't mind the picture changing slightly, which, you know, if you're, you know, gaming at 3 a.m. and have been at it for 8 hours and can barely keep your eyes open, probably you're not fully appreciating the color that you're seeing at that point anyway. Then it's actually
4K really whether I'm conscious or not, Jeff. I want it.
But yeah, and I find myself using it actually quite a bit just if I'm doing, you know, document work or I was doing some tax stuff the other day and it was late at night and I was sort of tired and my eyes hurt and I just flicked on the blue light mode and it does make a noticeable difference in how easy it is to stare at the screen.
That's awesome. Great to hear. Well, it's good to know that safety is also a concern for ASUS, right? maybe keep your customer base alive a little longer, right?
That's right. The longer we can keep you in front of the screen, the better for us, right?
That is awesome. Well, thank you guys for joining us today. Jeff, thanks again for coming on. This was an awesome episode. I'm going to go drool at some monitors right now.
It's great to be here.
All right, guys. Have a great rest of your days and fade.